This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, and listen, a lot to get to. We have finally made it. Spring training is over. No more exhibition games left to be played. They are officially back up north, headed to D.C. on Thursday for a nice little opening division series at Nats Park. Very, very excited to see this season get underway. I got a million thoughts that this episode is going to be like a all over the place type of just like general last second thoughts before the season begins here kind of thing. For starters, this got a lot of things together. So they finalized the roster. Cody Clemens makes the team. Buddy Kennedy and Tyler Phillips did not make the team. Tyler Phillips got DFA'd, officially traded to the Marlins for cash considerations. Buddy Kennedy, they're working on trying to find a partnering team for. If they can't, he will be DFA'd prior to the official roster announcement on Thursday. But you're looking at a roster of your rotation is Wheeler, I guess to start set up the year, Wheeler, Lizardo, Nola, Sanchez, Taiwan Walker, although he'll actually start the sixth game of the season because they have the off day following opening day. One of baseball's dumbest traditions, but I get it. They want to leave an extra day for opening day. They have the off day on Friday following opening day on Thursday, and then the off day on Tuesday of next week following opening day on Monday. So regardless, this will be the final string of episodes here before we actually get games going. But this is one of the more exciting times of the year, just in general in sports, arguably one of the best sports weekends of the year. You got regional finals of March Madness, and regional semi, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games of March Madness combined with opening day in Major League Baseball, although there were two games in Japan already. Kind of weird, whatever, but those are no more spring training. All the teams have come north, like, Clearwater, Florida, Arizona baseball's over. Number of on-deck series this year, but whatever, we're into Thursday opening day. So anyway, you got Wheeler, Nola or Wheeler, Lizardo, Nola, Sanchez, Walker to begin the year on the pitching side. Your bullpen, as a result of this, is going to be Strom, despite getting an injury, packing his daughter's stuff. He's going to be ready to go, so it's going to be Strom, Orion Kerkering, Jose Alvarado, Tanner Banks, Carlos Hernandez, who they just got off waivers. Who am I missing? Alvarado, Kerkering. Let's see, it was Alvarado, Kerkering, Strom, and then who have I not named here? I should probably have pulled this up before I got into it. Here's the full list. Romano, Kerkering, Strom, Alvarado, Banks, Hernandez, Jose Ruiz, and Joe Ross. So that is your official Phillies bullpen for the for opening day 2025. Catchers, JT Realmuto, Rafael Marchand. Infielders, Bryce Harper, Bryson Stott, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, Edmundo Sosa, and Cody Clemens. Outfielders, Nick Castellanos, Brandon Marsh, Max Kepler, Johan Rojas, and your designated hitter, Kyle Schwarber. So that is your opening day 26-man roster to begin the season. Feel pretty good about it. I think they, by and large, made most correct decisions, so to speak. I'll start with the bullpen really quick. Is concerning just a little bit that Banks and, well, Strom, Alvarado, Banks are your only lefties to begin the year. I mean, Strom, if he's fine. You get three lefties, five righties. But Banks being one of them, and Alvarado, who had an unbelievable spring, it definitely seems like, if you had asked me prior to spring training happening, and you said you're banking on getting anything out of Jose Alvarado, I would have said that's risky business. But does appear like they are in a position where they trust him in big spots. And so Schramm going to be your highest leverage guy. I think Romano is your closer. And then Alvarado, big lefties, Tanner Banks, probably closer to being a mop-up guy. But that's just, you know, you only have so many lefties to get through. There are going to be nights where Strom's down, Alvarado's down, Banks is going to have to come through in big spots. So that's certainly a concern of mine out of the gate here. As far as the rotation, I think it's interesting how they're lining it up to begin the season. Lizardo, very, very good. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. It's a, I guess it's like the left-right effect of your lining. They're definitely trying to be aggressive and win every game. Wheeler's your opening day starter. He obviously throws from the right side. Lizardo, lefty. Nola, you go back to giving him righty. And then in the Rockies series, you go Sanchez, lefty on home opening day. Wheeler, righty in game two of the series. And then Walker back to a righty in game three. And obviously the news of the weekend was that Rob Thompson, during one of the spring training broadcasts, saying that they're going to be using these two different lineups, that, you know, at least to start, you got a righty on the mound, that's Schwarber, you know, that could be Schwarber, Turner, Harper territory. You got a lefty on the mound, that could be Turner, Harper, Bohm territory, with you know, either Bohm hitting fourth in the first scenario, or then Schwarber would wrap around and hit fourth in scenario number two. Anyone who was paying attention to spring training kind of saw this play out. Like any of the, it's kind of difficult because during home games, during they would only do it really during home games. They don't. A lot of these guys don't make the trips in spring training anymore, as I've kind of outlined. But. Yeah, now it just feels like we're in a day and age where, unless it's in Clearwater, maybe Dunedin, that they're not doing, you know, they're not doing things where they're really rolling out a full lineup. So it was kind of hard to see because maybe they only roll out three or four real lineups in a given day. But when they were at home, by and large, at least for the last couple of weeks, if you go back and look, the majority of the time, if it was a righty on the mound, Schwarber would bat first. If it was a lefty on the mound, Turner would bat first, and then the rest of the corresponding lineup. So anyone who was paying attention was not stunned by this news, so to speak. It was not like a total, where the hell did this come from? It kind of makes sense. I think a lot of people feel like that there needs to be a consistent leadoff guy. I don't necessarily feel that to be the case. Let me make two things clear in the leadoff spot. Number one, I believe Kyle Schwarber is this team's leadoff hitter. I think this team over the last 3 years has been at its best when Schwarber is the leadoff guy. However, and so I think ultimately we'll get to a point where we're just going back to that anyway, and it feels like that's just how this works. However, the idea of trying to win every game and being aggressive to win every game, I don't think is a bad thing. Like, I think the concept of it is good. And I think a lot of people view naming the leadoff, like naming a leadoff hitter is not the same thing as like naming a quarterback. Like, there's an idea in football that, you know, if you go into training camp and someone says, well, they have two quarterbacks, it means you have no quarterback. I don't think that same logic applies to, in baseball. Just because you have two leadoff hitters, I don't think that means you have no leadoff hitters. It just means that we're in a day and age in baseball where roles are constantly being mixed and matched. It's the same thing with the closer thing of, like, I think more old school baseball fans, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, probably more traditional thinking baseball fans say that this guy should be, you know, the closer, like that's a role. There's a mental aspect to getting those final three outs, and that's how baseball should and has worked. And I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore. Like, you know, everyone always jokes, well, you know, if you have Mariano Rivera, then you do it. Okay. But then even if you had a modern day Mariano Rivera, like, he's the best reliever in your bullpen. And if 1, 2, and 3 are coming up in the eighth of the opposing team and they're clearly like the other team's all-stars, like, I don't know, probably you would use Mariano Rivera in the eighth. I know he has all these saves, but like, I think over time our minds will evolve. And I think younger age players are probably more in tune to that kind of thing. Like, I know some baseball players are creatures of habit, but I think they're probably more used to being mixed and matched. Kapler used to do this all the time with like the mixing and matching of lineups, and he took it to like the nth degree. That team didn't have any consistency, and he managed every game like it was game 7, which you can't do over 162. But you can't, like, I think the idea that players are unwilling to some days pitch the 7th, some days pitch the 8th, some days pitch the 9th is a relic of a time gone by. Likewise, I don't think Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner is going to throw a fit when one day they're hitting 1, one day they're hitting 4, or one day they're hitting 2. Or in Bryce Harper's case, and he might even be the biggest issue of, like, he prefers to hit 3, but some days he's going to be hitting 2. Or Alec Bohm, some days hitting 4, some days hitting 3. I don't think that is something that bothers players as much. I think they're used to mixing and matching different spots in the lineup. And if the information tells it, like, people get thrown off by analytics and the idea of analytics and more information and what that all means. I don't think more information is a bad thing. I don't think more, if your numbers tell you, we can disagree with what numbers mean and, you know, with what context they're taken and whatever. But if the Phillies truly believe that their information tells them, if I said to you logically, the Phillies have a, you know, 65% chance of winning a game or scoring a run in the first, you kind of got to think about it a little bit more nuanced. If they have a better chance of scoring in the first inning, which I would almost guarantee that with a righty on the mound, they have a better chance of scoring in the first inning batting 2 lefties. And if they have a lefty on the mound, you're guaranteeing them the first inning, you're batting 2 righties. And if their information tells them that gives them a greater chance to score in the first inning, when they score in the first inning, they win 65% of the time versus 57% of the time. And that if you simulate that, you might win 4 or 5 games more at the end of the season. Okay, well, when they, you know, that's the difference between a first-round bye or not a first-round bye, or winning the National League East or not winning the National League East, or a playoff spot or not a playoff spot. you're going to want those wins. And if, you know, maybe it throws the players for a bit of a loop and it challenges our traditional baseball mindsets of how things are going, but it's not as if you're, like the two quarterback theory, it's not as if you're asking quarterbacks to rotate in and out during a given series. It's like, no, you are literally doing this. Like, you're doing this because you're trying to get as many wins as possible. By the way, you're in the toughest division in baseball, and I think the idea that you're better off not winning the division is preposterous. People are so narrow-minded when it comes to the winning versus not winning the division thing, because in the year 2022, 2023, 2024, the Phillies have not won the division twice and won the division once, and the 1 year they did not advance past the division series was the year that they won the division. So therefore, if you only watched Phillies baseball for the last 3 years, you would say it's better for this team to not win the division. Okay, let's take a look at the other. This rule's been intact for 3 years. Let's look at the other nine instances it's happened. The other nine cases it's happened, the team who's gotten the first round by has advanced past the division series 6%, you know, not 6%, six times, and has not advanced three times. So if you remove the Phillies out of the, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. And by the way, I would suspect that as time moves on, that ratio will continue to get worse and worse and worse in favor of the team who wins the division. There is absolutely no substance. And by the way, last year, the Phillies were the only team who got a first round bye who did not advance past the division series. The Phillies didn't lose in the NLDS to the Mets because they had a first round bye. They lost because they were, you know, playing like they'd shown signs of leaking oil for a while and they were the worst team. They would have been the worst team if that series was played after a 5-day layoff or a 20-day layoff or a 0-day layoff. It would not have mattered, like, at all. And I firmly believe that. And I think this idea that not winning the division is better is just insane. I think it is obviously better to win the National League East. I think you are in a very, very, not think, I mean, everyone agrees that they are in one of the most difficult, the most difficult division in all of baseball. Like, between Mets and Marlins, whatever, everyone's going to get their wins against them. The games against the Mets and the Braves this year are going to be intense. The Braves are getting healthier. The Mets added Juan Soto. They knocked you off in the playoffs last year. I'm so glad that there's like a three-way rivalry. It makes baseball more exciting. A three-way rivalry between these teams again. And it makes the games, those games against the top half of the division more exciting. I already have circled on the calendar when they go to Atlanta in the second week of April. Or they're, you know, headed to New York in later April, I know. And then, you know, they come back here, both teams, at later points for big series. Like, those games are going to matter. Those games are going to be where divisions are won and lost. And I still think baseball is like the one, not, no, it's one of two sports. Football divisions still matter. But baseball is like the one sport where, like, long division races really matter. Like, basketball and hockey, not so much. They let more than half the teams in the playoffs. Like, it's the last sport we're still holding on to the division really holding some importance. And I just think it is insane to suggest, to like literally even suggest, that it would be better to not win the division. And then the last thing here, just kind of in my hodgepodge of Philly's thoughts, is that it is so insane that It is insane to me that we are in a day and age where it feels like we are really underrating this team. Like, for years and years and years, the team was awful, and then they've unfortunately set the bar too high with their World Series loss in 22 and their NLCS loss in 23 and then their Division Series loss in 24, that we've now gotten to a point with this iteration of the Phillies where people are just like down on them. All they're seeing is the playoff finishes and they're negative on them, and they saw how Trey Turner ended last year, and so people are just like out on the Phillies. People not realize that, like, nationally we are looking at a a team that is ranked top five in Major League Baseball and like projected win total this year. Do not really, they won 95 games last year. They didn't do that by accident. I understand that you go through ebbs and flows of a season. They didn't exactly start, you know, they started hot and they kind of leveled off. But winning 95 games is winning 95 games. I don't think you can do that in baseball by accident, right? Like that, it's just, it can't happen that way. And yes, I know that they showed signs of leaking oil, looked really bad in the postseason, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be this like 82-win team who just, you know, just fast forward to October and just get me to the NLCS and like that. We can't do that in a 162 game baseball season. The baseball season is so friggin' long, by the way. Like, and I love it because I said love watching baseball each and every day, but it is insane for me to think that people are in that kind of mindset. It just, it can't happen. And for anyone to suggest that they are going to like not at least be in the NL East race, or they're not going to be in playoff contention, or they're not going to be in World Series contention. I know it's easy to look at like what the Dodgers have and the fact that they just won the World Series and they add every offseason and what the Mets added, but the Phillies are still a good baseball team. There are like, 90% of the league would trade to be in the Phillies' position, right? Like, you know, again, maybe it's hard to look at it within the Phillies' own Phillies division because the Braves and Mets are so good. But, like, the NL Central, the entire NL Central would kill to be the Phillies. Everyone in the NL West not named the Dodgers would kill to be the Phillies. Everyone in the AL East not, like, the Yankees would kill to be the Phillies. And, like, probably the rest of the American League after that. So I don't understand why. I understand where I'm glad that we have the passion. I'm glad that we are holding this organization's feet to the fire, so to speak. I'm glad that we keep the intensity dialed up. But the fact that people cannot overlook, like that we can't look at last season past how they finished in the playoffs, it's just so insane to me. And it is frankly ridiculous that that is the only way we're allowed to look at how the Phillies have played. The only thing that anyone has to say about them is, hey, yeah, look at look at how they ended last year. Championship windows closed. I'm out on them. Like that is so ridiculous to me. So excited for opening day. Enjoy it. Next time, you know, obviously speak to you here. Well, it'll be, you know, I guess opening day eve. But after this week, it'll be full throttle with games, and I look forward to kind of giving my takeaways on that. So that's going to do it for today for Phillies Today. Again, I've been Buzz. Talk to you next time.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.